You're listening to
Hot Garbage.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music playlist. My name is Drew. Joining me, as always, is the Linden Truffle to my unwrapped caramel square, my dear friend Andy.
How's it going, man? I do love those truffles.
It is going really well. It's summertime. I couldn't be happier that summer is here. I'm in total summer mode, feeling real chill.
Me too, man. I'm feeling loose. Two different public pools in 2 days.
What's the premier public pool in the greater Portland area?
The best one is the one on the west side. I'm forgetting the name of it right now. Wilson Pool or something like that. It's in like Hillsdale.
Oh, really?
That one's real nice because they have a bunch of like water slides and separate big pools and stuff. But that one's busy as fuck because it's at Wilson High School.
Yeah, are there any like lesser known ones where there may not be as many
kids? Oh, that's why I go to Creston kids. Pool on Powell. Oh, no, there's always kids. There's so many kids. That's a no. That's
kids
no
do question. Love a pool. I mean, you can't fight that.
It's just packed with kids. We go to Selwood a lot. Selwood's cool because they got spray features and stuff, too. So you always see a kid sitting on one of those fountains, and they always get yelled at. It's great. There's always a kid sitting on those fountains.
I'd like to see two things. I would like to see, I'd like to bring back the fire hydrant, the street fountain that just gets turned on, and people run around in the fire hydrant. You know.
Dangerous high-pressure water spraying out of
just a face full of hydrant. I like that. I like the idea of just a spontaneous city fountain erupting.
As a kid, I found a fire hydrant wrench leaning up against a fire hydrant.
Oh, damn. You could have wreaked some havoc.
Oh, I took it, and I was ready and willing. I never even used it, though, man. It's probably sitting around my folks' house.
Probably for the best.
Yeah. We could open them all.
The other thing I'd like to see is some sort of, a fountain that adults can play in with the same kind of reckless and careless abandon that children play in other city fountains. Really, when you're at a city fountain, it looks so refreshing, and those kids look like they're having a blast running around in it, but there's not really an opportunity for adults to do that.
That's what, there's this unwritten rule. If you see a fountain and there's not kids in it, it doesn't mean it's not for adults.
I see.
You know,
so fountains are fair game.
Where people aren't playing in them, those are adult ones, and people are just, you know, too chicken shit to get in the water.
Any unmanned fountain is an adult plaything.
That's right. Any running water that doesn't have a kid in it is adults only.
If you learn nothing else from this episode, which is a distinct possibility, you have at least learned that.
Yeah, and you'll learn some things about yourself, some dark things.
This is kind of a great episode. I mean, we had our good friends, Jesse and Johnny from A Volcano, back on the show. Love those guys. So much fun hanging out with them. We played some great music tonight, and we talked a lot of bullshit. That's what I would call this. I would call this a lot of bullshit, but the best kind of bullshit.
Oh, so good. These guys are awesome. They have a new tape coming out. Make sure you get that and go see them because they're going to be playing a lot.
Yeah. Their tape releases on July 3rd here in Portland. We get to play a little sneak peek from that album on this episode. And we just crack wise with two really fantastic musicians and really great guys. So we hope you enjoy our time with A Volcano on this week's episode of Hot Garbage. Have you guys ever considered, instead of being A Volcano, you're just a volcano? And then you can it's like an answer to a question.
What is
a volcano?
What does that mean?
I don't think we've ever discussed the A or the
A volcano.
Yeah. A volcano.
I feel like everyone I talk to is A Volcano. They really stress that A hard. How do you guys? How do you
I always assumed volcano. That was A volcano.
Yeah. I don't know, but if somebody. More often than not, I feel like people go, like, yeah, you're in the volcanoes, right? You're the volcano band.
It's like the Cramps. You're not, but sometimes you say the Cramps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there are bands. I feel like there are bands that have
A can be.
It's tough with one vowel right out there in front.
A volcano. I was hoping. Yeah, we'll try and tete-a-tete.
You want to try it?
We'll get.
You want to?
Yeah, we'll get. Yeah, we'll get there.
Levels.
We'll get there.
volcano. You can always go.
As far as your curiosity goes, I do not give a shit. As long as it comes out, because it was going to be one word for a minute. We had it as A V O L, like it was one word.
All one thing.
Yeah.
But would that have changed the pronunciation, or was it always going to be what you guys said?
A volcano. I don't care.
I like to think of it as like a map, and there's A volcano, B volcano, and like C volcano.
Gay volcano. Like, wait, that's our.
It's just on the. It's on the spectrum of volcanoes. This is an A type volcano.
Yeah, a type A volcano.
A volcano. Mm-hmm. Are we the? There's got to be another band with a prefix like that in Portland.
Which is the like the word
because
right?
the. Well, there was this. A lot of
All right, totally different, but never mind. I'll shut up.
Good talk.
Yeah. I was gonna say, here comes a big black cloud.
Right,
but that's just. I then was they dropped about that half one, of that.
And
they
then there was went yeah, black cloud. Got cloud.
It was just dragging an ox through water. Yeah.
There was.
I can lick any son of a bitch in the house. There we go. That's like a sentence. It's not just
and now that's all one word. There's a band in Seattle called You May Die in the Desert, and I saw their name as You May Die the other day on a flyer, just because they couldn't fit it all. There was a band for a while. I'm sure they're awful now, but I liked them when I was a kid. An Albatross was what they were called. Which I've that was.
Oh, yeah. I know An Albatross, we were talking about A Perfect Circle. There's one with A.
A Perfect Circle.
A Perfect Circle.
Oh, yeah. Shit, I didn't think
it's right
that.
There.
But if you were to describe them,
I did
them,
not
be,
like that band. Holy shit.
It would be A Perfect Circle.
That was horrible.
Were you a Tool fan, though?
I was a Tool fan.
Huge.
I was
a Tool fan, too. Tool fan. And I did not care for A Perfect Circle. I didn't like the way that went. A lot of people really liked them because they did a lot of interesting things musically, but it was boring as fuck to me.
I loved like Tool and Portishead at the same time. So
yes,
I was like,
me too.
And I was Primus. Like, you were listening to a lot of Primus at that point.
Uh huh.
I listen to a Tool album like once every 10,000 days.
That's about Tool jokes.
Thank you.
I like to listen to it when I do opiates.
Oh,
wow. I haven't.
Topical, too. Timely.
Oh, so sad. That was a horrible joke.
Who died? Somebody die?
No.
Did they drown? Like, in the undertow?
Maynard didn't drown.
I heard a horrible story that was just so, you know, Prodigy of Mobb Deep just passed away. That was really sad. He died in Vegas due to complications from anemia. Well, there was a rumor going around that he had choked on an egg in the hospital, and that's how he died. And
an
I was like,
egg?
Holy shit, that would be such a cooler way to have died.
You think choking on egg is cooler than complications?
Complications from anemia that you've been battling your whole life? I guess not, because he died
Wasn't
on the
it
road
cell?
After performance.
Cell?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the dude was doing what he loved still.
Oh, that's right. Sickle cell. Yeah.
It's hot as fuck there, and it complicated things. So another reason to stay away from hot places like Arizona.
Like here today.
And Portland once in a while.
It was. It's officially summer here in Portland, so it was like 100 degrees all weekend long. Did you guys do anything to beat the heat? Are you summer people?
No. Well,
I think I'm a summer person.
I'm definitely a summer person.
But I just got over being sick. I was like
a summer cold
for like I got a summer cold for like 4 fucking days. It laid me out, and now it's like hard getting used to the sun now. Right. It's like, oh, this is how
it's oppressive.
Yeah. You had a fever for 4 days, right. And now you're back in a.
It's oppressive and it's obligatory. That's what I hate about
it. But
it's also
like so
magical. Can't not.
Yeah,
you can't
opt
wake
out.
Up and go, fuck it. I'm just going to watch Netflix. And especially when you're living in like a third story apartment.
You got to go to a movie theater.
Yeah,
you
have to do something. And the sun, and it's not like you can feel good about just staying home, masturbating, watching, you know, whatever the fuck.
Yeah, like when it's shitty out. Yeah.
You have to go.
Or like, I don't know. I kind of feel like it, you can kind of put yourself in a different world. When there's like extreme weather out, you know, in the summertime, you're like fucking walking on Mars.
Right. Yeah.
Just
right,
like baked on your bike and you're just like, hopping over rocks and lava cracks.
That's funny. I was walking to the beach yesterday. I went to Kelly Point here in Portland and you have to walk through some woods to get to the beach there. Right.
Can you swim there now?
Well, you're not allowed to swim there.
You can swim anywhere you
want.
Two
people passed away last summer there,
fuck.
Yeah. I did get in the water, and a sheriff's boat went by, and a few people were in the water. And
did you give him the finger like you usually do when you see cops?
Okay. Here's a Portland and cop story. I'll get into it. It's a little segue, or a tangent. But so yesterday here in Portland was the naked bike ride, which is thousands of
you know, people are allowed to bike through the streets of Portland.
And Drew, that's when Drew's allowed to sit on his front porch nude in a lawn chair as well. People don't talk about
that. I would have yesterday because it went right down my fucking street.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that was the route because they annoyingly don't post the route in advance. They don't want gawkers.
Have you done it before?
No, I've never done it before.
Okay. Well, then it's not that annoying that they don't. Because I've done it, and it's very annoying when you have to get, the traffic's so bad, you have to get off of your bike. And there's people sitting out there taking pictures. It's a little embarrassing. You want to keep moving.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah. So I'm going to quibble with you just a little bit.
Go ahead.
Don't. I mean, tell me. You can't tell me you don't want to be seen. That's part of it.
I was also 19 and very drunk, so I didn't give a shit.
Our good friends Blaine and Mandy and Nate Duke, the dude who wrote the sweet ass theme song for this show, were like the cover shot. For the naked bike
for
ride.
Like 2 years in a row.
For like every article there was written about him, they would come up and
they're
there
the stock
stick.
Penises.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, what were you saying though?
What I was really saying is I was coming home from the beach and I didn't realize, you know, they don't know where the route is. I'm just trying to go to my house. And the route is just, it's going down my street, so there's no way for me to drive to my house. And I was trying to figure that out, and there was a cop blocking the road and routing traffic. And I was like, hey, can I turn right there? I live on that street. It's just a few blocks down. And he's like, no, you're going to run into about 10,000 naked bikers. And I was like, okay, where is a place that I can cross over to get to my house? And he's like, hey, you know the neighborhood better than me.
What?
And I just wanted to say, like, yes, he did say that. He fucking did. I was like, fuck you, officer. Yeah, that may be true for this three square blocks, but I don't know the fucking route. Just tell me what I need to know.
That police officer was so mad. That was the day when that cop was just like, hell yeah, I get to go stare at pasty naked people.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know the neighborhood better than me. Fuck off.
Keep on moving along, kid.
I don't know, Bella. You know the neighborhood better than me.
I was thinking about how this podcast has hundreds of reasons why I'll never be able to run for public office because I have just so much recall of terrible things I've said, but fuck that police officer is right up there with things that will disqualify me from public service in the future, which is too bad. I think I'd make a fine politician, but god damn it, I was pissed off at that.
Mm-hmm.
Just do one thing to serve or protect me. Worthless piece of shit.
Yeah. Get you to your spot.
I guess just like, hey, buddy, we're all in this together.
Yeah. Hey, boss, you know, you tell me, right? No, fuck off.
You imagine
give
that
me
cop,
some information.
I imagine about 20 minutes later, that cop was walking around with just his gun belt on. And just like, man, only in Portland.
Yeah. And then every once in a while, he just maces
keeping
somebody.
It weird.
Because he's just the kind of piece of shit that will just, you know, just mace a nude girl.
I've told this story in the podcast, but quick flashback. I had a friend who was up at Mount Tabor, and they were smoking weed up top, and they noticed some cops going through their car. They got back down there. They checked it out. Nothing was gone. Packed up their steamroller and went to hit it full of pepper spray.
What?
Yeah. These cop motherfuckers pepper sprayed the inside of their pipes.
Are you kidding me? I mean, it's not surprising, but that is crazy.
That is a little surprising.
Yeah, that
we should all be shocked by
woo.
That.
Woo!
Oh,
he said it was intense and horrible. His friend was just fucking tore up for
imagine.
A long time. That can't be good for you.
No, it's not.
Inhaled pepper spray. Like that?
I suppose the weed would have worked also.
Well, and
right?
also that's like a fucking practical joke.
Yeah, and those cops are hiding in the bushes.
Officer of the law? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, it's like if you would like sweetly handed out all these twisted teas, but they had been filled with your urine instead.
You just wait till that Visine hits you.
No, I've done that before. It's actually you'd be surprised.
Yeah, well, on a hot summer day, sure.
It was in winter.
Some
it was different times.
Yeah, it's a winter drink. It's like cider.
Yeah,
but like
it's
warm.
It's like a hot toddy, but just like a.
It's more of like a mold.
That's
cider.
What I call when I pee like around somebody. I call it a hot toddy. Like in the, they lie in the snow. I pee a line around their body, and it kind of steams up.
Yeah,
it's called a hot toddy.
Hot toddy.
Oh man,
I dated a guy named Hot Todd.
Well, let's play
that's
some
the
music.
End of that story.
Let's play some music. What's
so
what's something you guys
did
brought?
Did I bring? I brought stuff. In fact, I even brought it on a.
Oh, can we just hook it up to auxiliary right here?
Yep, we definitely
plug
can.
Plug her in.
What would you guys like to start out with this evening?
Well, I brought this. Is this legal, or should I just plug it in from the
iPod? This is totally legal. This is kosher.
What is the first song? What did I say? Oh, Elephant Rifle. This is a band from Reno, Nevada. I believe the song's called Horses. It's the last song on their newest album. We played with them recently. They're just an incredible live show. Ridiculous and
I've heard a lot of great things about the Reno scene.
I heard a lot of good things about Elephant Rifle. Also from Gaytheist. They're good tour bros with those guys, too.
Yeah, they rule. Nice. And it was just refreshing to see their show. It was awesome. He also, funny story, so I'm from Reno, and while they were on stage, we'd open for them or whatever, and the singer was like, and thanks to A Volcano, and by the way, your stepmom says hi. And everybody kind of cracked up because it was like, it sounded like a joke. And he was like, no, but seriously, I work with your stepmom. And she said, told me to tell you hello. So it worked out. But this song is awesome. And they're just an incredible live band if you ever get a chance to check them out.
All right.
Thank you.
So it has been a year and a half since you guys have been on the show.
Is that all?
I know. It doesn't feel like that at all. I was shocked when I went back and saw that it had been that long. But I'm just curious for you guys personally, what is sort of like the, how far in advance do you plan? Is like, we have like six things we want to do in a year. Is there a list? Is there, you know, we need to record once a year. Is there a timeline? And if so, what are the kind of steps along your timeline?
I mean, for going on tour, you have to fucking book it in advance. I mean, but other than that, I think it's just like, what songs do we have? What shows do we want to play? You know?
So obviously tour takes a minute. Timelines. Jesus. So I guess we recorded this. So last time we were here, we had just recorded, I think.
Right.
We recorded this album that's coming out. And I decided to attempt to shop it to labels, which was, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I think in today's, you know what I mean? Like I think in today's,
that's the gist of it.
Now in today's like music market or whatever, like you watch these documentaries about these bands and they were this and then they got signed and then suddenly they're big, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now it's not like that. You record it. You yourself record, you write it. You have to pay for your space. You have to pay for your fucking, you have to load all your gear. You have to pay to record it. Hopefully it's good. Hopefully people give a shit. And then you got to put it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you got to tour it.
So and then you got to tour it.
People can see you play. Yeah.
And for anybody to care is very difficult. Like you guys were talking about, we were talking about earlier about you guys pushing your podcast. It's difficult to sell yourself. It's difficult to sit there on the internet because it's all on the internet now.
Right.
And it's difficult to sit there and go like, hey, I'm in this cool band, you know, like, do you want to yes, put out exactly. our video? Do you want to put out our thing, you know?
I think it comes down to, I don't think we have a timeline.
As far as timelines go, Jesus, yeah. We're just glad not to be dead.
After, like, the rent is paid on the space and everything else,
right.
You know?
Yeah, we're gold.
When we fucking go into the practice space, we're just thinking about what we're doing right there. Like, what sounds
there, good for there us definitely to is, I think, in as far as the band goes, I think there is, like, a we know we want to, because the normal amount of stuff is you write, record, and tour, right?
Yeah, there's a little bit of a cadence
to
it.
That would be, But sometimes you write, and you don't, you know, it takes you time to record, and then you get into the recording space, and the, you know, the guy who records you is always going to mix you, but he's not going to mix you until 2 months after. And, you know, it's not like,
yeah, well,
it
you know,
come
like
out.
We can record this week, but I'm going to be gone on tour for seven months.
And
so you
and,
can come
and
back.
Everybody
in
has schedules. Yeah. Everybody has.
And schedules. Then I'm actually redoing my garage. So like one wall is gone now.
Right. So and that's the thing is that every human being, it's not like when you listen to a record, and I would hope everybody realizes when you listen to an album, It's not the people that made, you know, it's sure you're hearing the musicians that wrote it, but you're hearing at least 10 other people doing a million other things on that record. You know, you somebody who can, I can't mix, I can't master, I don't know, I can barely write, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny, you were talking about, I'm just kind of curious, you talk about looking for a label and kind of shopping that around and what goes into that. It's not necessary to do that to be a band as much as it used to be, even a successful band. But, like, in your opinion, what is, like, the new threshold for taking yourself seriously? A label used to be this legitimizing
force. Right, yeah, you got signed. Yeah, you got signed.
But now it's such a vague, murky area. What's the benchmark, in your opinion, now? What is something that a band can hang its hat on and say, we're doing this? I think a tour. I think if you go on a legitimate tour.
It's so funny to say, because I was going to say when...
I feel like
when Josh from Rabbits told us that it shook my hand, that was it. That was it for me. I was like, all right, we're respected. Finally, we got it. It's nice. Done. Like, you know,
I was going to say those 1 million Twitter followers.
But when
that
bands,
little blue check next to your name.
When bands that you respect come up to you and.
Yeah, that's huge.
And shake your hand. I mean, that was, for me, that was giant for me. And just now, even, I think the last show I actually, like, attempted to book by myself was years ago, because we just get asked to play so many shows by some fucking great band. Sold asked us to play recently. That's Josh's new band.
That's cool. Yeah, I haven't seen them yet. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that, you know, that type of stuff really keeps me going, because there's nobody that comes up to me and goes like, dude, that record, man, that was so, you know, that was great.
Okay, so here's another question then, because I get that. I think the respect of peers is huge. Do you ever write music with that kind of thing in mind? Once you get a little bit of that attention and some of that recognition, does it seep into your creative process where you're looking to play to different areas or like different kinds of people or get a certain experience?
No.
Does nothing changes about that?
I don't think. Yeah, you take
this. I have no idea how people are reacting to our music.
Which I think has been the point the entire
time. Honestly, yeah. I don't think I really care.
That's good.
We do. I mean, there are influences, you know?
Like definitely influences, but I feel when we're writing music, we're just music together. And it's just us two in the space. It's a fucking tiny room.
So in a year and a half, what changes about the music itself? I mean, you guys are probably playing a couple times a week. What's different about you now musically than...
Probably. He said probably playing a couple times a week. We probably should be playing a couple times.
Let's say it's, is it once? Once a week?
We'd have to count the condoms.
I don't want
to. You have to check the forensic files.
Which is why we keep the condoms.
Yeah.
It's like the rings. It's like the rings on a tree. Yeah. You know?
Is music changing?
Yeah, I think the music is changing because we're ready to go on this tour. And then after we fucking release this tape, we're going to work on some really...
It's going to get weird.
Different, weird stuff.
And I think we really focused on... For at least for me, and I think for him, Jesse hits the drums harder than anybody I've ever met in my life. And also,
I didn't know that.
I think I have really, really tried to get as loud as possible. So I think now that we know
we're gonna. Be
I was gonna say now
band.
That we know we're good, but I don't think I can say that. We're just in real life, but.
Go as low as volume as possible now.
Yeah.
Now that we've hit that point of being so loud.
I don't know. Yep. Now that we're loud, I just want to.
Now it's time for your tears in heaven.
Well, exactly. Mm-hmm. No, there was a lot of doom and stoner metal and a lot of these influences, and now I feel like metal itself is kind of branching out into these other dimensions. And for me, like, I think for both of us, we listen to a lot of different things. So we're just going to try and, who knows. This one's coming out, and then the next one might be.
Did you guys bring something from the new one?
Yeah, we did.
Let's take a listen, because I know you're recording this last year, and it's just about to pop, so I'd like to hear some new stuff. What's one you can share with us?
This song is called Spooky. We also have a video for it that somebody will see at some point. Our buddy Nate did the video. He rotoscoped it. 1,598 feet of films. Miles. it's our single. Yeah, DJ.
Would you also call this a world exclusive?
Yes, this is the first time this will be heard on public broadcasting. Can I say that here?
Well, this is for the public for sure.
Yeah. So
this is an outward facing podcast.
This is So this is a hard garbage.
One more time.
Exclusive.
All right. Let's check.
Spooky.
Thank you.
So when did this, for you guys, when did this stop? First of all, I've listened to the podcast many times. You guys don't talk much about yourselves.
Good. I'm glad to hear that because I feel like I only talk about myself.
Is that what, okay, but how did you guys meet?
Oh.
It was a meet cute.
Yeah.
It was a Christian mingle date.
Chris, he was on a blind date with a girl. I was on a blind date with a girl, and we didn't like our dates, and we were sitting opposite tables, like Christian mingle, really? And we ended up hanging out, Andy and I.
Yeah.
No. So I'm from Indiana, moved to Seattle right after school, and lived in Seattle with two friends in about 2005, and had never been to Portland, and we just decided we're going to spend a Saturday, go down to Portland, and we remember that a friend from high school, our friend Sarah, moved to Portland at the same time. So we, through back channels, found her phone number, gave her a call, and
When you had to find phone numbers?
Yeah, you had to go through your Rolodex to actually locate somebody. And ended up that she was with her then fiance, was going to a barbecue, and was like, yeah, you guys can totally come. And it was a barbecue at Andy's house.
At my house.
Oh, shit.
And it was like this circle of friends, and we just hung out for the day.
Yeah,
met Nate that day.
It was a pretty great thing. We got a keg of Newcastle because that was my wife's favorite beer.
That's right.
Mm. We got it from Belmont Station, and they ordered it from Scotland for us. Wow, they shipped it over for us. It was so stupid expensive.
And I've known you for it.
It was overpriced as fuck. We paid like $240 for a keg of beer.
Did it taste the same? Did it taste
exactly like Newcastle from the bottle?
I could tell a difference.
It was
and
really
I've known
exciting.
You for like 12 years now, and I did not know that Kim's favorite beer was Newcastle.
At the time, yeah.
It's also my favorite beer. Like,
it's a good goddamn beer.
You know what's
beer.
Like really low in alcohol? It's only like four.
I know, that's why you can drink seven or eight of them.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why it's a lot of people's favorite beers.
That also was the same night that I first heard The Sword's Age of Winters.
Oh, God. Good. I remember my first night listening to that.
I was really excited. That's kind of what caught. That was my gateway Doom album. And then I was like, you know what? This reminds me of this band I used to listen to back in like 97 called Sleep. And I was like, oh shit, they've been putting out music still. And then that was really exciting too.
And I had the same musical journey, The Sword, you know, Sleep, that kind of thing, about 8 years later. It took me that much longer to get into the metal game.
It took everybody.
Andy back then had long hair.
Same. Yeah, I was a hippie.
Really long hair. He looked like the girl from the
you,
ring.
You, a hippie?
Yeah.
Climbing out of a well.
And he's currently wearing a tie-dye shirt.
I am.
With an eyeball on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's been, I can't believe I've known you for 12 years.
That's right.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
It feels like four.
Yeah.
So, when did this, did you guys talk about a podcast?
I got to put this one up to Blaine. Our friend Blaine's always got the gears turning, and he said, hey, man, you guys should do a podcast. You're always
about
listening
what,
to music,
was
Andy.
It, was well, it always about music?
I'm one of those assholes on Facebook who's constantly posting music videos that no one watches.
Sure.
And I was just like, man, how's another way that I could get music out to people? I'm constantly making mixtapes. I'm always just like, listen to what I'm listening to. It's great. And people seem to be this is cool. Thank you for turning me on to this new music. Or they don't say anything at all, which I imagine they hated it. But
Some people hate to receive that too.
Yeah.
Like when we went to Bridgetown and we were interviewing comedians, Andy would then offer them a mix CD and they're like,
a personal one that I'd made specifically for the festival to give out to people.
And it was like you were handing them a dirty syringe or
they
something.
They were
really like that.
Turned off by it, like, oh, I don't even have a CD player. I'm good.
But Andy's had like a Facebook persona that was called Mr. Tomorrow. I don't even know where that came from.
It was a fucking autocorrect. I typed something like, who wants to go shopping with me tomorrow, and it corrected it to Mr. Tomorrow. It's like, oh man, that's me.
Yeah. And so he would put out Mr. Tomorrow's Hot Garbage, and he would just put a song or a like a video link or something like that,
or like a
that's
Bandcamp
trippy,
link.
Man.
And so it was a good idea, and I was like, Hot Garbage is a great name for a podcast. And then we had to change it to HAUTE because there's some now defunct food podcast or something from 2008 that
a food
was
podcast?
HOT. I don't know, I actually never listened to it.
But
and
I
do not endorse
garbage.
The other hot garbage.
My wife came up with that.
If it was about food.
Yeah.
It's like, man, I'm hungry. Oh, hot garbage. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Go for a pile of hot garbage.
Ironically, it was about fast food, which this podcast really became.
Yeah.
More Taco Bell talk than music talk these days.
I feel like the HAUTE is good, though, because we fancy.
Yeah, we are fancy.
It's good. It works out. So then how did you... So I was sort of... I've talked to a lot of my friends, drunken, late night, of like, oh, we should start, dude, this is gold. We should start a podcast. But when did this become, did you guys have a couple of those conversations? And then
we had a lot of those conversations. And then it turned into Drew
but
coming
then silent
over.
Silent partner, Nate, how'd you find this guy?
All right, there's a whole long thing. Me and Drew had been meeting on Fridays when my son Oliver would take a nap. And I would play YouTube videos for him and then hold a microphone up to my computer speakers and record through a glitched out, totally virus-infected laptop. And we recorded a good 10 episodes on that will never be aired.
Andy's computer was not the most secure device, so he let in a lot of viruses. And one of the viruses, if you were using the internet, it would just say, infected, infected. And so we were like recording into the computer.
Threat
itself,
detected.
And you would hear threat detected while the YouTube video with commercials was playing. So it was... Yeah. It was a...
Oh, those are our best work, though, man. We got some real
hear
gems,
I,
some goofy goofs.
I'm assuming the computer got dumped.
That computer is up there, and it's broken, and I need to pull the hard drive. So, someday.
So those theoretically exist somewhere.
They do, yeah.
And so this was the start of it.
I'm surprised it's still hard.
And then after that, I mean, they were terrible. They were just bad. They were really bad. Like
real bad.
We do the occasional bad episode now, but these were
wretched.
They were
very sexual. Very sexual.
Two dudes in a basement, I can't imagine.
And and then we just, Nate said he would like record us and edit the
episodes. He was like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Have you ever heard of GarageBand? It's on most computers now. And we were like, no. And
it's
like,
in most non-infected computers.
He's like, let me show you. I'll really just come over and record it. And then, it became an integral part of our show. Without him, this show does not happen.
It's true.
Yeah, we all cheers to Nate.
Yes.
Silent partner, Nate.
Yeah. He does make the sound happen.
Also, on the low-key tip, Nate did record an episode with us early on, after the baby was born.
One has not seen
the
light of day. We interviewed Nate.
And Drew was tits up drunk that night.
Was I?
You were very drunk. We were doing it at your house, so you really tore into it.
So badly.
I mean, I don't remember.
That one's on the that one's for the Patreon.
For Patreon.
For our Patreon subscribers. Man, I can't talk tonight.
It's okay. Sure. Nope, nobody can. What are you talking about?
Twisted
tea.
Man, I can't talk tonight. Twisted tea.
That's how that happened. And then we I feel as if Andy and Nate are critical pillars because Andy does all the booking and the reaching out to people, and Nate actually edits every piece of I just show up.
Yeah, but you, it's
unprepared.
So you have no idea. That's very good. It's a nice. Yes. This
good.
Works.
Mm.
This
good.
Whole thing works. Believe me.
I'm very happy to hear that. I'm glad that I hold up at least my end of the bargain.
We have something in common. I just show up and play drums.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
I feel like I am.
And look at him. God damn.
I just show up.
He's so.
But it works.
And
it definitely works.
I can get as fat as I want as long as he continues playing drums like that. Yeah. And it looks that way. You can be great.
Black socks.
It's all the black socks.
Love black socks.
You're the sex appeal of the band. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're
I'm the socks appeal. Yeah. I'm done now.
I'm not gonna talk for the rest of the diet.
All right. That is a mic drop moment.
I'm gonna jump right into a song here after that. And that hot garbage. You guys heard of Igor?
Nope.
It's pronounced Igor.
Oh, okay. Oh, shit. I fucked it all up. Igorr.
Rrr.
Three R's. Yeah.
Igor.
He's a French
pirate.
Metal musician. This is his solo work. And it is like, oh, man, it's hard to put a genre tag on this shit. It's
weird.
Metal for sure sometimes, but sometimes it's classical. It's like Fantomas if they were from France and were... No, I guess still it's kind of like Fantomas. fucking love
like
this.
Like a French or non-French Fantomas.
Yeah. He's got this new album called Savage Sinusoid.
Sinusoid.
You'll pronounce it better.
You guys all read. But man, this motherfucker. Listen to this shit. It also kind of sounds like Weird Al to me, which I love. So take
is there
that.
An accordion?
There is an accordion.
Okay, well let's get to it. This is I have no idea what we're about to listen to, but let's check it out nonetheless.
This is off his new album. It's called Homeous. It's Homeous. We'll be right back. where I kind of feel like the way I felt the first time I heard Fantomas. It was just like, what the fuck is this?
Okay, who is it for? Like, I don't dislike it. I was energized. I feel excited by that music.
I don't dislike it.
Who is it for?
Are you a battery?
That yes. shit right there is for extreme music aficionados.
Sober people.
Yeah. That's for people who just like music that pushes boundaries, and they're just like, whoa, yeah. What the fuck is this guy
doing?
It
is for straight edge 37-year-olds who grew up on noisecore.
Well, you found it. Here's a question. How do you find this music? Some Bandcamp. Shit you fucking play. That's all you search?
I mostly use Bandcamp, and I'll search popular stuff. Thing? I like their like little Discover section where you can go through and look at like the highest selling overall of that moment. And you can go through and people are buying shit and you can see what people are buying and then you can look at it and then you get under the genre tags and you just get deep into some weird shit.
Do you buy Bandcamp stuff?
I do. Okay. I do. I buy local artists.
Right. It's my number one probably. I buy a lot of stuff through Bandcamp.
In fact, it's the only music I buy is through Bandcamp. Yeah. I bought Spotify, but
I bought Damn. I went on iTunes and bought
too.
Damn.
Me too, yeah. Yesterday.
Nice. I bought Day It Came Out because I was just like, I want to hear this shit. And I haven't bought an album in like a year.
Was it only $6.99?
No.
Oh, mine. Oh, I bought it yesterday. It was only $6.99.
I paid $10 for it. $9.99.
I feel like $10 is a good deal.
No doubt.
For supporting a band that is local or regional or under the radar, I think that's the right amount of
money. That's the most I'll pay for a digital download, for sure. Would you pay $15 for an album online?
Honestly, probably not.
I would pay $5 for a digital download.
Yeah.
Right?
Unless I was like really taken away by it, you know?
I remember going to the fucking mall back in the day and buying like a fucking Ice Cube CD for like $18.99 or something, you know?
Yeah. Or when that was the only way you could consume music, I would pay $18 routinely, like Sam Goody or something like that. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you know, digitally, it seems like so much.
I just bought a Yob album for $23,
but was it a vinyl album?
It was an LP.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, because I will buy a record for way more than that.
What is the right record price? When I've been my girlfriend recently got a turntable, so she's like starting from scratch with her record collection. I was a little bit surprised by how much records are. What's like the right price point for a vinyl?
Well,
it's
all over
the place.
Like $40, yeah. $35. Well,
also, there's the digging ability. If you want to go to, like, I found Fugazi's End Hits for $5 at Crossroads, but I had to dig through those records. You know, you have to like go to these.
How much
were
they?
Oh, quick side note: Crossroads is moving up the street from this fucking studio. I'm pretty excited that they found a new location on like 80th and Herald. Yes, much bigger. So
sweet.
Don't be too bummed that they're moving off of Hawthorne. There'll be another ice cream shop.
Yeah,
there you go. Well, I think
you can dig.
If
you can find shit.
Fucking great.
I just think it should be whatever the price of your record. Like, I paid $25. I'm not talking shit here, but I paid $25 for Sons of Huns. I guess most recent records was years ago, but no digital download.
That's a bummer.
That's
I like, the, you know I like I mean? The digital download,
this
too.
This is a
it's
double
nice.
Album. It's a beautiful double LP, and I'm happy to pay the money, but at the end of the day, like, the only time I can listen to that record is at my house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you, and I love the record as, like, that artifact and that sitting around. Like, it's cleaning house music. You can just put on a record, and then you're around it.
Yeah, but and it forces you to listen to a whole album, too, or at least a side of an album.
And that's a good point. Yeah. I like that feature of it, too. I like being sort of like conscripted into listening to the whole thing and having that full experience. But I do 98% of my music listening in like earbuds or headphones.
I think everybody
walking
does
around.
Mm-hmm. And I think to keep your music solely analog at this point, in my opinion, is very ridiculous. I think there should be at least, you know, like I have tapes and I'm going to give tapes to you guys, but there is no digital download yet. But you can buy it on the internet. And we made our last album free.
Yeah. Well, see, that's a good deal. You get a little something.
Yeah.
And I think the tape is a great, like, we do tapes, and I do $5. We do $5.
$5 is easy.
It's $5 easy tape, even if you don't really have a tape player, but more and more people do. It's just a nice little thing to have.
Like,
and we do get
the
digital download.
Me too.
And especially because people are doing really cool things with the cassette itself, where it's just like, you guys' new one, it's all white, right?
Yeah. Well, that's really cool. I'm going to plug my record here for a minute.
Yeah.
Or my cassette tape. We have a 5-panel fold-out.
Five panel. Oh, nice. You sprung for the five panel. That's nice.
Our buddy Nate did all the artwork, and on the other side is all the lyrics, which is another one. Oh,
that's something you don't get every time
albums
anymore.
You don't, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all seven words.
All seven words of the whole album.
Nice.
Okay, here's another question then about kind of along these lines. When you think about downloading digitally, like, is it better to give it away? Is it better just to have it in people's hands and give the digital for free?
It's a good question.
Because
I'm glad you asked.
My opinion on paying for music has changed so drastically just because of habit and culture that now, you know, 10 seems like my max. But
when was the last time you, like, I'm sure you go to shows, but if you're handing things across a table to a guy that you're shaking hands with, that's one thing.
Yeah.
Buying music on the internet, I personally, just because I came to the realization probably when I was, 22 or something, I realized I'm never going to be huge. You know, I'm never going to be signing fucking autographs or anything. So after, and this is another thing that we bought, what was the minimum for the 7 inches? We bought 250 or something. Still have 150 of those, right? You know what I mean? Like, I knew I wasn't going to sell that shit. So on the internet especially, I think the point for us is to get it out there.
Right.
And I think as far as A Volcano is concerned, we're a live band. You know? You should come see us. If you like it, you should come see it live because it's a lot different than it is recorded.
Yeah, I feel like it's really hard to be a musician and just rely on selling an album online. Like, you know, I want to talk to you and we want to shoot the shit and like be weird with each other and have a connection with, you know, if you enjoy it, you know, it's in today's age, it's like, fuck man. It's so hard to get real connections with people. Because a lot of it is online, and that's a good thing, but I feel like...
Yeah, which is another nice thing
everyone
about
taking advantage
a music
of it.
Video. And just, you know, I remember my buddy telling me that if you make a music video, you're instantly touring. You can tell everybody that, you know, this is what it is, and this is the video, and you can send it out there, but it's difficult at, you know... And we're the worst also about selling stuff after shows. So to anybody who's listening who tried to buy
just too busy to give an autograph.
Oh, God, we're the worst. We're the worst. Just come out back if you want to get a tape.
I guess what Johnny's trying to say is that we're looking for a merch person.
Yes. A third person to the band, please.
I mean...
P.O. Box.
We don't have a tambourine, but we do have a little bit of merch.
Two most annoying instruments.
You know, we started off using a tambourine. Do you remember that?
I do.
Oh, my God, dude. That was fucking 6 years ago.
No more.
In your living room.
Tambourine, and what's the other one?
That was instead of a drum set, you just had a tambourine.
Well, I had a tambourine.
Which is the original name of the band.
A tambourine, yeah.
A tambourine.
It was actually...
A tambourine. You guys have come a long way from the...
Thank you.
The a tambourine days.
I was thinking about the tambourine, and what's the other instrument I hate? The harmonica. Those are my two least favorite instruments in the world.
What about a kazoo?
What about a digital overdubbed harmonica?
It hasn't...
Auto-tuned harmonica.
It hasn't been... None of that shit has been ruined for me.
How about a didgeridoo?
I love me a didgeridoo.
I like a drone.
I think it's just overplayed.
I like
them.
If you use it too much. I swear to God. So I was listening to this Neurosis album earlier today in my truck, and I swear to God there was a didgeridoo. They came in on like a low part, and I'm like, damn, that sounds really good. Didgeridoos are like really, like you can overdo them where it's just the same fucking note the whole time.
I don't think you can overdo a didgeridoo. You can't over didgeridoo.
But when it's like overlapped with like super heavy fucking like tribal drumming and like, oh man.
I'm not going to start to do the didgeridoo.
If I'm listening
noise.
To fucking Roots, Bloody Roots acoustic, better have a fucking didgeridoo.
Oh, I have a good segue into a song.
Is didgeridoo don't.
Yeah, this is perfect.
This is Dr. Didge.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you
this
all
is
know,
the didgeridoo harmonica.
You all know the band House of Pain?
I sure do.
No.
Everlast, who also recorded a little bit of music in the late 90s.
His famous album, Whitey Ford Sings
the
Blues.
Whitey Ford Sings the Blues, which is not a bad album.
I don't know. I only know the...
The one song, which is that song.
But What It's Like.
The fuck out of that album, and there's some cuts.
It's not bad. There's a heater. Anyways, Everlast recently recorded a exclusive mixtape with... Oh, God. Who is it?
Shaggy Too Dope.
I wish.
DJ
I wish.
High Tech.
No, it was... He might have produced one of the beats. But anyways, it's Everlast, Divine Styler.
The Divine Styler. Nice. I'm a big fan of
this. And a person I don't know, Sick Jackin?
I don't know that name.
Sick Jackin.
Anyways, this is a
what
song.
What you doing
so we're
on a sick day at,
we're speaking
from
of strange
school.
Instruments. I'm not going to tell you who these samples
I was waiting for the segue, actually. I was
I'm
about
not
to
tell you
shit on your segue. Sample. But...
I'm trying. Come on. I'm trying. I'm not going to shit on you guys not knowing what the instruments are, but or the sample.
Is it a theremin?
No, but this sample, if you guys can name the sample, it's a fun. It's just a fun tune to listen to. If you can recognize the sample.
Theme song from Sharon Lois and Bram's The Elephant Show.
You win 1 million points from A Volcano.
All right. Well, what's the name of the song?
Couldn't Tell You by... War Porn Industries is what his group is called.
I like it.
Oh, shit.
Easy to Google. Even more easy to listen to. Let's check it out. War pig appetite, gluttonous parasite, so high taking fight, blue-eyed Canaanite, alien, cardiac, biomechanic, beats are divine, bars are satanic, brain can't think, one blink, you all panic, sooner or later, war is organic, killer instinct, got us all on the brink, pissing on the wall like your shit don't stink, listen for the call, pole, trying, got a link, ain't no cracks in the wall, and the armor don't stink, make gold out of zinc, with knowledge is extinct, throw up in the sink, then I have another drink. Sun flares debonair, hood rich thousand air via satellite, hard light from apartment stairs. For many years, brown bag, whiskey kids, light a joint, everybody on the block smoking this. Spoken bricks from broken spits, in the midst of chaos with the Loki clicks. Till the pigs stay off all the homies' dicks. We're just trying to make chips to escape from this. Get away from the LA, PDC, we trying to elevate. MC sell weed, we do what it takes. Never pump brakes until we own the real estate.
Gets more famous, shit strange. Uncut poetry with base set agenda. These streets know with me, this time flow is free. You're now rocking with the sound of the dopest three. Deep root trinity, hush when the OG speak. Yeah, this is right, get sick music. Sick side, get live in the pit to it. Ceremonial slang for powwows. Sick jack and everlasting fine style. Style unknowable of time, make a global world shape sound around the crown that I'm showing you. What you're going through is paranormal contact. Prime mega high mortal with the combat. Divine rhyme through stargates and all that. Been nail seven on the square before rap. Born on the level, no ledger format. Three-door DNA, Big Bang, world clap. Apocalypto, hell flames lit. Homo sapiens on slave ships. Shoot the avatar, spark out your cranium. Snuff you with the hologram, rock your whole alias.
What were you saying about a dab?
You should go to the first time there. I saw a dab, I did not know was happening. And we were in Eugene, sleeping with this amazing band, Senza. And we woke up, and this dude is has a fucking blowtorch to a bong. And I was like, oh no, these aren't the drugs I was, you know, these aren't the drugs I was looking for, sir.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I was like, what the fuck are you doing? And he was like, I'm lighting the nail to do this thing. And they were also...
That terminology doesn't help somebody who doesn't know about it either.
Yeah, exactly. But they were also...
I'm heating up the rig to put this nail on my oil. And it's like, what the fuck kind of heroin is this?
And then the torch cracky. Comes out.
Yeah,
and,
very yeah, cracky.
Too cracky. Too cracky.
Before that took off back in the day, I remember people busting out like heat guns, the kind you use to peel paint off. And doing vapor hits out of a bong with those. Like, that was a thing. And then I knew these really kind of super sketchy dudes who were very sketchy.
You did?
A lot of stripper, a lot of cocaine, a lot of stripper girlfriends and things.
Did they wear tie-dye shirts, too?
They with wore eyeballs on them? Kangles and, like, long white tees. Okay. These dudes, but they were hippies. they would roll these big
tie-dye underwear.
Yeah. They would roll these big-ass blunts and then cut them into rounds. Like a hot dog.
Like Rolos.
Then, yeah, and then put them into their bong and heat it up with a heat gun. And it was just like, that seemed real excessive.
But also these dudes that were doing these dabs in Eugene were world professional Super Smash Brothers players.
What?
Whoa.
Yeah, like they offered me and you to play, and I also was like, this isn't fun. This
they're
is not
classically
fun.
Trained musicians too.
Oh yeah,
so they're
they
like
all,
geniuses,
they were all super smart,
like world renowned fucking Super Smash Brothers.
their whole band was, or at least two of them were, getting like their master's thesis in percussion.
Whoa!
And they weren't playing percussion in the band. You know, it was like.
That was just their side, academic
just,
side.
They were just incredible.
They just had
music.
Those fucking percussive thumbs where they were just like, A, B, A, B, R, 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 they could hit every button. And yeah, you imagine those dudes playing like Street Fighter Turbo Edition?
Yeah, or finger harping.
56 hit combo.
This stuff. They were like, no options, no items. No. And I was like, oh, but that's what makes it, that's what the point of the, okay, all right.
For most
I'm
people,
dead
it's
now.
Just, yeah.
It was a nightmare.
They hit you so hard you actually saw blood in Super Smash.
Yeah, it was bad. Weird. They could fucking they were a hell of a band. And they were also one of those bands where you get to the show, you're watching them set up going, I guarantee this isn't gonna be what it you know.
Yeah,
they just turned up to 10 and fucking went for it. It was like,
they're
White
like
Reapers
one,
the other band
like,
I know.
Like 112 Fender amps. And they just
so incredible.
Cranked them.
I love bands like that. They go, oh, good evening. we're so-and-so. And then just...
And they're just screaming at you.
I saw Saviors at Satyricon. And it was like Saviors and Skeleton Witch. Like back right before Satyricon Wee! Closed. And Saviors just came on stage. It was just like, we're Saviors. And it just like blew everybody's
right.
heads off. It was just like, holy shit, that's how you start a show.
Yeah.
That was cool, yeah.
I appreciate that. I appreciate people. I feel like I've seen, I don't know what, maybe I've been to the wrong shows. I feel like a lot of people discussing the song and what it's about prior to playing it. That's,
oh,
that
this
shit
is
needs
a song
to
about,
end, dude. Yeah.
This is a song about a whale.
Yeah, and you know, me and my girlfriend, we once lived by this tree. It was a fig tree. It's like, okay, dude, okay.
VH1 built an entire series called Storytellers around this very idea.
Really?
Yeah.
See, maybe I'm just behind the
But
tower.
They would have people like Sting on. And
like
he
David
would tell
Bowie.
Like 20-minute stories about fields of gold and, you know,
yeah.
why.
I love the fucking David Bowie one.
Sounds
like
a joke.
Then I did cocaine out of a man's eyeball hole.
So is this
that's
a show about?
That's where Under Pressure came from.
Yeah.
Oh, this no, this show... was probably in the era of the heyday of the MTV Music Awards that we were talking about before the show. This was like late 90s.
You remember when that happened when VH1 came out and we're like, hey, parents, check out these videos. This is for you, not the kids.
Yeah, like,
and it
was well,
like
wait, 70% hold on.
More Melissa Etheridge.
I'm not familiar with the VH1 came
really?
Out era.
Video hits one.
It was sort of the delayed adult contemporary response to MTV because it would play music videos, but it was very—it was much more toward middle of the road kinds of artists. Like I made that Melissa Etheridge joke, but that was kind of what their target was.
Yeah.
Like the
yeah.
post
Cougar, John yeah, Cougar Mellencamp.
I remember when MTV started doing like just fucking reality TV shows and just.
That's our generation.
It became, a joke.
Right.
And VH1 was still.
They still had videos.
Yeah, they're still the only ones that were.
Well, there's MTV.
They started their programming, and it all went downhill from.
Well,
there.
They maintained music programming for much much longer than MTV did. It was music centric for longer.
And I remember
it's funny
MTV
you mentioned
too.
John Mellencamp because they played that Wild Nights that Van Morrison cover that he
yeah,
did.
Yeah.
That video was on heavy VH1 rotation.
Heavy VH1 rotation.
That and that White House's song.
Pink houses?
Pink houses. That's a little
white
houses.
Pink houses, white houses.
All these fucking houses.
But
fuck
I remember MTV 2, that was the only channel for some reason. I don't know, my mother may have had some weird cable, but MTV 2 came on my channel thing, television, and it was DMX. Yeah, that's
Earl
the
Simmons.
Same,
oh, man.
The one and the same.
Man, that guy's the best. Kind of mess.
You know, that was the Aaliyah Ja Rule era, the fucking.
Murder Inc.
Yeah.
And I think that Interpol.
I'm real.
That's the video. That was the same exact
video. Oh, hell yeah.
And Interpol, that I remember watching that Interpol video.
Oh, I don't remember any Interpol videos. That's.
I think it was with Christina Aguilera.
What?
Can anybody prove me wrong?
She was in an Interpol video? Yeah.
I think she was in...
Lost Me.
And she can read. You remember that one?
Uh-uh.
You know that Interpol song you really like.
You know that one that
just
goes...
Just kidding.
Do you know one of the dudes from Interpol has a side project with
RZA?
Yeah, that's
it
pretty crazy.
It is garbage. Yeah. I've listened to it. It's
hot yeah. garbage?
RZA's parts
not even
are
hot.
Awesome.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. Yeah.
But... The
not
whole,
good.
Yeah, not very good.
Dude, so, around that time, I was a member of a monthly VHS video club where they would send you a video of a bunch of videos of whatever genre you selected. And I started off with
music?
Pop music. Yeah. I started off with pop music and it sucked, so I switched over to metal. And man, that's some fucking cool shit.
Never seen
on.
So many Alice in
man,
Chains
it
videos.
It sucks so much
dude,
more.
We should
well,
get...
like the first tape I got was like the new Morbid Angel song. Clutch, Shogun de Marcus, when that came out, and a Tad song, and like King's X. Those are the ones that stood out in my mind. There was more.
Can
was
I? They were bringing early YouTube
like,
to
shit.
You.
Yeah, totally. Can and then it turned out to be a huge scam, and they were like charging way too much. My parents got really mad.
That's unfortunate.
But it was cool.
Yeah, I want that club.
Yeah.
Thanks,
parents. I guarantee you the whole thing will eat itself, and there will be a VHS club of the month very soon. At least in Portland.
Right. That,
I'm down to start that. Or at least be involved.
Okay.
You've got
all
the
right.
resources.
Also,
the
I need the drunk talk, you know, about yeah. the podcast. This is mm-hmm. this is how it starts.
Yeah, that's
I need to get
called.
That Matrix VHS from you.
Oh, yeah, I bought the Matrix. So the story I want to tell you is perfect. We're on the air. The story I want to tell you was I bought the Matrix on VHS for 50 cents at Everyday Music while simultaneously buying Slanted and Enchanted by Pavement. And the guy who rang me up.
I assume you're talking about the Matrix soundtrack.
No,
I'm just
the Matrix. Oh, good. All right,
Animatrix. Or yeah,
thanks, guys. Very funny. You all are very funny.
Please go on with your story because any story that involves
he
Matrix,
thought
I'm
he thought it was really, he says, "What are you doing a '90s night or something?" But in actuality, I had really wanted to watch the Matrix.
Well,
the only thing I had was a VHS player, and I had never listened to Pavement, and I just wanted to hear that record.
That's awesome. That is some. That is a fucking like.
He was
real time capsule you purchased.
Yeah, yeah. And it was all for well, all for under $5.99. Good.
Or it's like you were like an alien who had seized the body of a human. And you were just trying to fit in. Just like, oh, I'll buy a Matrix VHS and a Pavement album. So like your data had been delayed
on CD. Yeah,
traveling
on compact
the light
disc.
Years of space, and you were just a little bit off in your calibration.
All right.
My wife came home from garage sailing. This weekend with a VCR, like, mm-hmm. oh, we don't have a VCR anymore, so I got this VCR.
And then she brought
we have
out
all
some acrylic
kids
paint
movies.
And just decorated it,
yeah.
and
yeah.
now there's a sort of like
a weird
like
toaster
a potted plant growing out of it. And
yeah, it's beautiful. But she was like, hey, we have all those kids' movies in the
it's
garage.
Vintage.
We can watch old Disney movies we haven't watched forever. And I went out to the garage, and no, those are long gone. All we have left are skate videos and porn. I was stoked, but nobody else in my house is very happy.
Those are the last
it.
VHS holdouts.
Those are the last things that are still in my collection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those might be worse. If you got flips for Sorry, I
ooh, I got
just watch it right now.
Oh man, I got Second to None, that Dwan Song video.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Good stuff.
It's good.
Oh baby.
Okay, so Andy, play us one more song. We got time for like one more piece of music, I think.
Should we keep it in France? Or should we move along to another country?
I don't know. Whatever allows you to smoothly introduce a piece of music.
Whatever's cooler than here.
Well.
Yeah, we're all wilting here in the heat.
Let's get this is some like something I've been bumping a lot in my car. We need some like summertime driving around your car music. And what's more summer than MF Doom and Sade mashup album?
Oh, I love this record.
It's so fucking
good. Is it out? Can you buy it?
You can get it on Bandcamp. There's a second one. They came out with the second one.
They take it out too? Yeah. I thought you could only get it on YouTube.
Yeah, this
okay,
is part two, and this is the song called Meat Grinder. It's so good.
Dripping off the beat, kinda dripping off the meat grinder. Heat niner, pimping, stripping, soft, sweet minor. China was a neat sign of trouble with the script digits. Double dip, bubble lip, subtle lisp, midget. Borderline schizo, sort of fine tits, dough. Porter wine, order grind, quarter to nine, let's go. Ever since 10, 11, glad she made a brethren. Dennis last down, seven alligator, seven at the gates of heaven, knocking, no answer. Slow dancer, hopeless romancer, dopest flow stanzas. Yes, no, villain, metal face to destro. Guess so, still incredible. In escrow, just say ho, I'll test a yayo. Wild West style fest, y'all best to lay low. Hey bro, day glow, set the bet, pay dough. Before the cheddar get away, best to get Mako. The worst hated god who perpetrated odd favors, demonstrated in the perforated rod lavers. In all quad flavors, large savers. Still back in the game like Jack LaLanne. Think you know the name, don't rack your brain. On a fast track to half same, either in a slow beat or that the speed or at the cane. Latter, pain, doing songs lit in the booth with the best host. Doing bong hits on the roof in the west coast. He's at it again, mad at the pen. Glad that we win a tad fat in a bad hat for men. Grind the cinnamon, Manhattan warmongers. You could find the villain in satin, gongas. The van screeches, the old man preaches about the gold sand beaches. The cold hand reaches for the old tan Elises. Jesus.
The last thing that I have to do before we leave tonight, I need on behalf of, I think on behalf of society, I need to, and the chance that this person is out there listening, I need to like let someone know that they're a real piece of shit. Okay, that's a segment where I call you are a real piece of shit.
You're a real piece of
shit. Today, again, I told you guys earlier we were picking up some furniture for my girlfriend, and we had gotten to her apartment, and they have a loading bay, and it's near the basement. You kind of pop, you can back your vehicle in, unload some things. They have a cart there for you to use.
Oh, nice.
And that's deluxe. We did that, brought it upstairs, and came back to move the car. I would say that the whole thing took generously 6 minutes. 6 minutes
from getting out of the store,
from the moment we, you know, pulled in to getting it out and to coming back. We were very conscientious of the time we were parked there.
Sure.
We obviously know we're not, you know, it's not a long-term thing. We get out to the car and we're about to move away, and then a girl comes down. She's probably, let's say, 28-29 years old, and she's like, hey, you can't park here. And we're like, yeah, we know, we're about to move it. And she goes, yeah, I just reserved it at 1 o'clock, and it's after 1 o'clock. You can't park here. What is your name? And she, my girlfriend was like, what do you want to know that for? I was like, oh, I just want to tell Shelly about this, the building manager. And she's like, oh, well, I'm not going to tell you this. And as my girlfriend was backing out, the girl was getting out to take a picture of her on her phone. She was like trying to capture a picture of my girlfriend. So my girlfriend got out like, what is your problem? Why? What is wrong with you? A, you cannot reserve this space. It's there for all people in the building. There's no sign.
Oh, but she knew the building manager.
There's no calendar. There's no nothing like that. There's only a cart for public use and general access to anyone who's in the building. And again, we were there for no more than 6 minutes. And you know why we were able to get in there in the first place? Is because her car, which she had reserved the space, it wasn't there. It was an empty
driveway.
She
parks there?
No, she just was. I've reserved it for the hour.
Just to park her car there for an hour, just to look at it.
Who fucking knows?
I seriously think I no shit believe that people leave their fucking houses just to ruin other people's days. That's how they get their fucking rock. I swear to God, there couldn't be another reason. What's the other reason?
My dad sometimes rides me for the amount of swearing that happens on this show, and this is an instance in which you want to save all of your bad words because this person was a cunt. Like, she was a true, awful human being. Like, what you're saying is absolutely true. Like, she had to go out of her way. It was much more inconvenient for her to do all of these things than to allow us to simply back out of the spot she was trying to use. But to invent some sort of story about reserving this space, she was an awful, awful person. And
she was a fucking bitch.
She Mr. really was. Lazara. I mean, I'm being dead serious. I hope this person listening, I don't know what her name is. She's kind of, you know, blonde hair in her mid to late 20s.
No,
lives
you don't
in Northwest
say.
Portland. Weird. I hope you are listening. Ooh. You are a worthless, narcissistic
in that situation,
turd.
What she's trying to do is feel important, so you need to turn it around on her and be like, oh, no, excuse me, what is your name, miss? And she will tell you a lot of information. She is waiting for someone to ask her that.
I don't
and
care
then you can just
if she
fight
actually
it out.
Reserved the space. Like, all you have to do is say, hey, are you guys finished up and backing out?
Right.
I'm back to you. That's
a
normal you have
person.
To do. And we would have like, oh, yep, just, sorry, just on our way out. And we would have moved immediately,
right.
And there would have been no confrontation.
Right. And just normal interactions.
That would be a normal person thing. What I think happened is somebody hurt this woman. Someone parked in that spot and said, yeah, yeah, I'll be right back. And they didn't come back.
Yeah.
For a I
long
want everybody
time.
To know that this is...
And it ruined her day.
It
that
was a white
IKEA,
man.
She had paid
rusty.
Someone to the at the store to deliver her groceries. And yeah. They won't deliver them from the curb. See, they got to park there.
Yeah.
And she had some milk.
Tell
spoil.
Me where in the parking space did the man touch you?
I feel like I'm not doing this situation justice because it's very specific and the encounter was very enraging. It's just like people, seriously, you're not alone in the world. And there are just a few little tiny things that you can do to acknowledge that you are aware that the entire world isn't bent toward your perception of every single thing.
And that's why Drew thinks you're a piece of shit.
She is a piece of shit. Bow, bow, I want to also bow, say, bow, bow, I want to also bow. Say sorry to everyone I've called a piece of shit until this person, including that officer who was a piece of shit. Like, he was a piece of shit of the weekend until we met this girl today. And she is awful.
So there's a cop out there that's
Drew's
better than
a
normal
of the
person.
We two, of,
swear.
Two of our most loyal listeners.
I don't want to believe that.
As it turns out, awful yeah. pieces of shit.
This cop just says, hey, buddy, you know the neighborhood better than me. We're all in this together, buddy.
And then, according to our story, got just in his...
He just dropped
his,
trial and down to his gun belt and probably his black socks and shoes.
Are people going to know this story?
He
is
kept
that
calling
be
it,
on the thing?
He kept calling it his so. Service revolver.
A service
he was,
revolver.
He wanted to discharge his service revolver.
You should have told that to the lady.
Ugh. Well, we didn't say anything. We didn't act like monsters. My girlfriend
but
was texting me all
you
day
can't.
Like...
You can't, because there's no...
She said... My girlfriend was like, I really sincerely wish I had punched her. I really wish this was the time. I was like, that was the kind of person that would absolutely call the police.
Right, and in Nevada
she
or
said,
Montana,
she
you could
very
probably
seriously, totally worth it. Absolutely
oh
worth it.
Oh, my God.
She would have taken an assault charge in order to teach this awful person a lesson.
I think also another way podcast. You could have handled this is right from the get-go, you just go fucking full-on 11 and just be like, what are you talking about? This is my parking spot. I reserve this. And just scream in her face and just lose it like way too early. And there's no escalation. You're already as mad as you can be. You're
take
tearing,
off your shirt.
Tearing your shirt off your body.
The problem is I'm so not... I don't.
And then
I'm
you
not,
just leave.
I'm not ready to flip that switch. To get to that place, you either have to be unstable or you have to program yourself. You say, okay, if this ever happens, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm
also,
doing
if it. You flip that switch, you will get body slammed.
Yeah, it's very... It's
yeah.
That's
occasionally.
That's a switch you got to flip.
I
like, all
hope
right, dude.
So.
You
bad
hope your
things,
phone's not in your
I
pocket.
Hope
probably
going
to
so.
Happen to me because, yeah... That's...
I want to apologize for my use of the C word. Again, I only want to dole it out in a very specific...
Are you apologizing to your father specifically?
Well, my father won't love that, but I know that there's also some women out there that may not love it. And I'm telling you, my use of it as in applying it to a woman is totally incidental in this case.
It's in the British
sense.
This
was an awful human being, independent of what words I might use to describe her and how gendered they are. This was an awful, awful person. And I wanted to save that C word for this specific person.
There you go. It's the first time he's ever said it about a woman.
Yes, I would never say that word. It's a,
he described it
it's
as
a little
me
bit
earlier.
Out of bounds. But
I use it during sex to talk real sexy, but my wife doesn't like it, so it's not like really doing me
it's
anything.
The accent.
That's
it's
your
the accent.
Man,
you
there's,
get. Yeah. It's not.
But
there's a real specific type for you, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's your
I say a lot
romantic
of
euphemism for.
My wife does not appreciate it.
My wife.
You have to say that every time anyone says that. It's just podcast.
I don't have a wife.
You see, there's that time capsule alien. He's yeah,
why? If I
he just watched
the
Matrix
on
VHS and was listening to some Pavement, and
yeah,
then he heard about
real.
Borat.
Look at my phone.
What's a VHS? Heard about this
Borat movie? It's fucking funny.
Someone sent him a chat link through Instant Messenger for this Borat meme, and here he is.
Do you I've been have watching AOL? It on YouTube in 5-minute increments.
No, I don't anymore. I don't even have any of the discs.
Have you guys ever watched an entire movie on YouTube with commercials?
What kind of movie?
Broken into different sections?
What kind of commercials?
Like over the top with Sylvester Stallone?
Or under the top?
Or under the replacements?
Under the bottom?
Keanu Reeves.
Oh, yeah, man.
10 minutes on YouTube? I watched a lot of that Hot Ones show.
I fucking love Hot Ones.
I love that show.
Oh my God. Who's your favorite episode of that show?
So far, Nick Kroll was hilarious.
Nick Kroll's pretty good. I really liked Russell Brand.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to suck. He was pretty
great.
Funny.
Yeah, he was great.
So Hot Ones is a YouTube show where they eat
genius idea.
Yeah. They eat hot wings, and they go up in heat level every time. There's like 10 of them, and the top one is like some ridiculous hot sauce with liquid rage sauce.
Yeah, gonna kill you.
And then they put a little bit more on it. And they have a lot of cool celebrities come on, and they eat hot wings.
Some of them are funny, and some of them are not.
Some of them have almost thrown up. Somebody swear, Bobby Lee may have shit his pants.
Ooh, that's right. That was a funny
one.
That was a really good one. Actually, Bronson was really good on it.
They're just It's just funny, because it's funny to watch
Danny Brown.
They're obviously on there to plug something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny to watch them go like, all right, yeah. You know, he asks them, do you like hot foods? And they go, yeah, I don't know. But towards the end, like, you're hallucinating towards the last four sauces. And everybody says, like, Jesus Christ. But the point of the show is you eat this hot wing, and then he asks you a question.
I see.
And this guy, the guy who's doing the whole show.
He's so good at it.
He's very professional. Very
What's his name? Sean?
Sean.
I forget his last name right now. I have to Google this.
Sean Astin.
It is
Sean Penn. I was going to say Evans.
Rudy.
I think it is Sean Evans.
It's not Sean Astin. It's not.
Either way, this guy, he eats the wings and he asks these people the questions.
It's not,
but sometimes
it is Sean Evans.
Samwise.
Sean Evans. GMG. With hot ones.
And he can't even, like, some of these guests can't even, they're like, oh, God. You know, because it's just destroying them.
I've been pranked with
T-Pain.
Hot wings before.
That's a good one. Have you?
Yeah.
Somebody said they gave you like a barbecue wing,
kitchen,
and they gave you like
kitchen
a
kitchen staff when I worked at Elephant's Deli here in Portland. Uh-huh. They set me up, and it was awful. I had to put like a spoonful of sour cream on my tongue to.
What kind of pepper?
Neutralize.
What kind of sauce did they hit you with?
I mean, I think it was like a ghost pepper. I think it was.
They hit you with a scorpion death pepper.
Something that could clear a parking lot or something. I remember somebody gave me a hot sauce on my burrito. They gave me sauce on my burrito. I ate it, and it was. I mean, it was.
You went into anaphylactic shock.
I was dying. Yeah. And the guy,
it's,
the
it's
owner comes
It becomes
goes,
toxic.
Look at this. There's nobody put that on their shit, you know? And I was like, oh, they put it on my thing. We had to leave. We had to leave the restaurant. I was that fucked up.
You were making a scene.
And he says, look, he's like, I used this for, he said he used it for, to clean off his, the paint on his driveway. Is how, that was, that, it said that. That was the other use. For this hot sauce.
Used to taste or
paint.
to strip paint.
It was so
wow.
It was god awful.
The hottest thing I've ever eaten was the Great Balls of Fire at Fire in the Mountain in Portland. They're habanero cheese fritters, and then they give you a salsa that's a habanero reduction, so it's even fucking hotter than it normally should be. And I went in a day what they said was actually kind of mild compared to normal.
And you ate?
And I ate. You have to eat 5 fritters and eat all the salsa. I didn't even finish all the salsa. They let me through.
And you're,
but I did it.
And what do you get? A blowjob?
You get your picture taken on the wall.
Oh,
and that's when I got the nickname the Shart Star.
Wait, so. You have to be on
the
wall. The
Shart
and
Star.
Then they
whoa,
take your picture.
Whoa.
Yeah.
We got another
I had, had like
How'd a, you get the Shart Star?
I was playing it like real fast and loose with my food choices in that point in my life.
Weird.
And I had
Weird.
Shit my pants like on numerous occasions when thought it was a fart. So I became the Shart Star.
The Shart Star.
Yeah.
I love
I had
that.
My picture on the wall at the Belmont area, Fire in the Mountain. But
as
that
the
shit,
Shart Star,
do not serve this man.
It said Shart Star, and it was me drunkenly like pumping my fist because I had drank like a beer for every one of those things.
Yeah, and I'm
are,
sure your face was red as
they were, my face was so red you could see the blood traveling to my cheeks where the food was inside of it. It was like an episode. It was like a game of snake happening on my face with blood.
Look for that Shart Star.
Oh, it
How
hurt
many times
me so
you
bad.
Your pants? You got?
I don't know. You know,
story?
Like as much as a normal person does.
Times 12 or 13.
I mean, like as much as like a regular warehouse worker who drinks nothing but shitty beer and eats microwave burritos for lunch every day and eats chili for dinner would. and has Taco Bell on the weekends to really.
You should
step
start
it
a
up.
Church. I think you have the ability to start a church.
Taco Bell is taking care of yourself.
Yeah. Ooh, can we talk just a small Taco Bell? They came out with a new item.
Sure.
Did they?
The double gordita.
What is that?
It's a double chalupa, I think.
Is it
just,
so? Is it
it's
just
twice
more...
as wide? They just made it wider and added more meat.
Double wide gordita.
Did they add more layers though?
No.
Is there like another layer?
It just
of
looks
cheese?
Like one that's like too wide. Put together with no metal parts.
Great.
They recommend you scoop it out with your hand as kind of a trough.
Yeah.
Actually, it just comes in, you know, those like 7-Eleven Big Bite containers. Right, it just comes in that.
Yeah.
This and might also be fake news too.
Tortilla mittens that have the extra cheese layer on the inside.
Cheese.
You just
kind of
scoop it out and just eat till you're down the bone.
Exactly. Exactly.
This also might just be me. Seeing a picture of two tacos really close together as I drove
when
by
your
a
eyes
Taco
were
Bell.
Crossed.
I was just on my way home, driving by Taco Bell, and I was like, did they come out with a wider chalupa? That looks delicious. I could be wrong. But if I'm right, it's revolutionary.
Did you guys significant others listen to this?
No.
Sometimes.
Nate's wife is forced to because he edits it in front of her. And she's our biggest fan and our biggest critic. Yes. Thank you, Tiffany.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tiffany.
I'm glad that she listens. That means a lot, actually. Yeah.
So you say sometimes.
Yeah, she'll go in spurts. She's not against it. Can she's supportive.
She's my wife comes supportive. To our live performances. That's when she sees me shine.
That's good.
That's when she sees her little star shine.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to go on record. Yeah, she's very supportive. Extremely supportive.
I tried to ask
she will listen eventually.
That's true.
I asked my brother the first time he says. I mentioned you on the podcast. You know, she listens to you. Because I got to the masturbating part and I turned it off.
Yeah, see,
so I don't.
Well, then you missed out, sir.
It's polarizing. Right. I forget that it's polarizing because to me, I remember we were talking about just masturbating in a glass cube in the middle of like Times Square or something like that.
That was an excellent episode.
To me,
by the way,
to me that is so absurd.
It stands
that no
out
one could possibly
in like my top
be
10.
Offended by it. But I forget that the very subject itself is something
sometimes,
that most people don't talk about at all.
Right. And that's why we have a podcast, so we can talk about these things with bands that we met.
Well, look, this is okay. Internet. Maybe we'll have to trim some other parts, but I think we need to get into this just a little bit because I already apologized to my dad and to the public at large for using some
aggressive
language.
All apologies.
I'm going to say you're welcome. Your sensitive ears needed to hear this.
Thank
and
you.
We're helping y'all wake up.
Thank
people
you for being honest.
We say gross shit, but people out in the world say
they're
hateful,
thinking it.
Ugly,
not
nasty
they're
shit.
Thinking
that's worse
it.
Than what
it.
We're saying.
But
now.
What I'm saying, yeah, of course it's gross.
I mean, at least like
it's
you,
the world.
But it's absurd.
Life
it's
is
totally
gross.
Ridiculous. How could anyone take it seriously enough to be offended? Like you have to go out of your way to be
there
offended
are,
by the ridiculous
I know,
things
there
that
are
we say.
A ton of
but we're just
out
like
there.
Hemorrhaging listeners, though.
Yeah, so,
I don't know.
But what was your point?
So my point. Well, I'm just curious because I mean, this person that you're talking about could not get through that. They just refused to listen. They walked away.
They walked away because of just talking about jacking off in a glass booth in Times Square. Just when you could do it, instead of being a weird, gross perv, you go and jack off in a box like
right,
like
see
a person,
so
like performance art.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. See,
you can do whatever you want.
Remains a ridiculous concept that I can't think of it as anything but funny. But
yeah,
you know, to each their own.
Well, you also have to. Understand
I still think
that
it knocks it out of the park.
And I ain't
I
talking
know.
Shit here, but
that's
sometimes
solid.
You guys are talking, and I go, "Oh fuck, there's another hour and a half of this."
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay.
But well, I say that are going on an hour 40 right now.
Yeah,
I stick it out. God damn it, I stick it out, and you guys are hilarious.
Well, thank you for listening. You can listen piecemeal. I mean, I don't mind how people consume it. I know that the total
hair
pulling
they were fucking hilarious.
Yeah, they were great. There's and we try to listen to some music, but
oh, that was the question I had
I
for
like
you.
Music.
How do you?
Yeah.
Oh, I already asked.
We already talked about
how you find the music.
That probably is a good place for us to go out because, A, we're done, and B, it's about 400 degrees.
Yes,
that's how we know.
We're all running out of gas.
This Twisted Tea is
A. Volcano, thank you guys
so
much for being back on the show. We love having
you.
What's the best way for people to keep track of what's up with you guys?
We are on Bandcamp, which we talked about quite a bit tonight. A Volcano, that's A Volcano is in one word, .bandcamp. .com. We have a Facebook.
And we didn't talk anything about your tour. Can you give people a quick rundown of where you'll be playing soon here?
Oh, yeah.
On the 30th, we're playing in Seattle with Gaytheist.
An old iron.
And old Albert Lee's iron. Party there.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's gonna, yeah, they're releasing their record. And then we're coming.
The first in Astoria.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're doing a skate park in Astoria.
That skate park rules.
Yeah.
That's dope. The Armory,
the Armory skate park.
That is a venue that every band in Portland needs to make the trip out and play. Because they're dope there.
Yeah, this will be our second time there.
That's awesome.
Then we're playing Eugene for the first time in probably 2 years. Make our triumphant comeback to play to five people in Eugene. And then,
but they missed you.
They did. Those five people are my favorite five people. And then we're playing Monday, July 3rd here in Portland at the Kenton Club with Gaytheist and Maximum Mad, who are awesome. Incredible. And then we're going to Montana. And we're going to enjoy America's birthday and go to Montana.
It's a big summer.
Yeah.
It's a big sky country.
Gonna be a good time. Big sky country.
Oh, big sky country. Oh, wow.
And
it's huge.
Is the album out? Coming out?
It's here. I mean, it's gonna be our album release show is Monday, July 3rd. So that's where we're gonna put it out.
The 3rd, yeah. The party before whatever we celebrate this party.
Well, we have 200 tapes. 200. I hope everybody's hearing this. 200 tapes. So please
get them.
Buy one.
They make great 4th of July gifts.
Yes. Too, or you can wing them at idiots.
Tape them to the bottle rocket.
No. You can
send
use
them
as toilet paper.
They actually respond really kind of trippy to heat, you know, the tape on the inside. Yeah. So it's.
If you don't like the way we sound, just leave it in the sun.
Yeah. It's a form of firework. Yeah. It works a fire in a certain way.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much again. Always a blast hanging out with you. Appreciate you coming out.
Thanks,
and
Drew.
We appreciate each
Andy.
Of you listening
you
to this
Thank
episode
you.
Of Hot Garbage.
We do.
We really love it when you tune in. And if you like what you hear, please pass this along to a friend. Means a lot to us. Means a lot to the show. Means
Send
a
us
lot
along
to
your aunt
Nate's
who hates
wife.
Stories about masturbating. Yeah. Because she might like half an episode.
Means a lot to free speech when
it
you
does.
Tune in.
Does.
Can I do the outro song?
Yes, you can.
You can.
Okay, you just let me know.
Take us home. Take us home, Johnny.
Your ears taste good.
Couldn't have done it any better. It was like I was listening to a recording. Andy, with maybe just give us a little real little palate cleanser to go out on after that.
Oh, what can we listen to that we haven't listened to that we should listen to?
Weezer's Maladroit.
You guys ever heard of Elvis Presley?
Oh, you know what? We play a lot of Hair Puller on this show, but I'm going to play a song off of their new Split
new
with Dead Tropics. This is off of their side of it. It's their song, Heard.